This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
How do we make this Pirates team better? How do we make it better for 2024? How do we make it keep making it better past 2024? I've said this before. I really believe it. Like, every day in the major leagues is certainly special, but every year is absolutely special. We have to embrace the year we're in and do everything we can to put this team in the best position.
Let's go, Derek! Shelton didn't talk. That was Ben Cherington. Ben Cherington saying every year is special and we got to do what we can to make this team good. And would also say in his radio show yesterday, right here on 93.7 The Fan, that he would give up prospects for Major League ready players. So you push those two answers, smush those two answers together, and what I am discerning is they are hoping to add, and they are probably hoping to add players with term on their contract, and probably won't be in the rental market, which I'm okay with.
Mm-hmm.
You want prospects because they're going to grow with your team, and because they're cost controlled, and you're going to have them for six-ish years. You can keep that window open longer, but if you trade prospects for players who are under team control and who can help you now, they're going to help you this year, unlike prospects, and they're going to help you into the future. If that's their philosophy, I'm totally fine with it.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of where we thought that they were going to go if they were going to do something.
Yeah.
Like, the rental thing didn't make any sense. You want to give up some of the guys that you've been developing for somebody that you're going to rent and maybe can get you into a wild card spot. You want to get somebody that is already ready that you can have for a while and grow with this team and grow with this window that you think is right now. Grow with Skeens, grow with Jones and Keller and Reynolds, I mean, who's getting paid. And hopefully, you know, Brian Hayes comes around and O'Neill Cruz, like, you want somebody to come in here and be with these guys for a while. And that makes the most sense. But when is that going to happen? Like, every day.
Tick, tick, tick.
Tick, tick, tick. And it's not some philosophy that you've come up with that's out of nowhere. Everybody else is thinking that, too, because of how the league is.
Yes.
The league is, everybody's kind of neck and neck. Nobody's really good, except for a few teams. But there's going to be a lot of teams vying for that last spot. Whenever it's all said and done, they're thinking the same way. So if you say it on your radio show, you better be prepared today at least 7:04 a.m. to make a move before somebody else does.
Yes, and that is why I say they are winning the war, Doran. They lost the series. They lost the battle. But that acknowledgement from Ben Cherington is unlike we've heard him before. And I feel like the owner forced his hand on Friday. And maybe not so much in so many words, because perhaps they've been having these conversations not publicly. In fact, I would imagine that they have been having these conversations not publicly.
Would hope so.
The public stance here from Cherington is a breath of fresh air. It guarantees nothing you need to find a team that is going to be a willing dance partner. But the idea that he is bringing this up publicly, I think, is a massive step in the right direction. And the fact that we heard Bob Nutting talk on Friday is huge.
Goal and confidence level making the playoffs. Like, is that the goal of this season?
100%. We've shown it's attainable. I think you look at the results we've had from the mound, the pitching has been solid.
Yeah.
I mean, we have some very strong pitchers, but performing well. Obviously, we need more offense. We're a bottom performing team in offensive production, and that's, you all know that as much as I do. We're fully aware of that. We know the areas that need to improve. Some of that has to come from organic improvement from our players now. Has to. And you've seen a couple of bounce backs. We know that is true. How much of it comes from within the organization and outside the organization, I think, is exactly what Ben's working on.
100% the goal is to make the playoffs.
I've never heard him speak that way.
We haven't heard him speak in season in the 15 years that the station has existed. He hasn't done it.
Nope.
He'll give his little speech to the team in spring training. Sometimes, like when there's a managerial change, he'll talk after the season. You don't get Bob Nutting on the record very often talking about baseball-related matters, and that he did it in season. Yes, maybe he got ambushed a little bit with the sheets patch and the press conference there, but this was a guy who knew what he was talking about. Like, this wasn't Bob Nutting going up there and throwing platitudes, empty platitudes out there. No, he's talking, we're a bottom third team in hitting in Major League Baseball, and he rattled off some statistics there, but the goal is 100% to make the playoffs. Did this land on you the way it landed on me? Which is to say, I was almost dancing when I heard Bob Nutting say that. 100% the goal is to make the playoffs, and that Ben Cherington is trying to make moves, and Bob Nutting actually, and we'll play this clip coming up in the next segment, he said, yeah, it's kind of important to do it sooner than later. He's not going to say that. I know people take everything this guy says with a grain of salt. He's not going to say that if they're not going to do something. He's not going to put his ass out there when his ass is always out there, and he's going to put something on the record and then not have it follow through. I doubt that's going to happen. This, to me, this was massive, Doran.
You're absolutely right. Like, I mean, he, the fact that he said what he said, it kind of, I looked at the screen or the radio with that, like, whenever you whistle at a dog and they kind of put their head to the side. Like, I was like, oh, really? Like, okay, but now, let's see it. Yeah, like, let's see it. Like, okay, but you're right. He would never put his backside out there.
I don't think.
If he wasn't going to, if something wasn't brewing. And especially, like, in this time and recognizing what this team could be and recognizing that he has Skeens, he has Jones, he has Keller, and to not miss this moment, that was a nice little audio.
Yes, it was.
It really was. It really was.
He, say what you will about him, and Pirates fans do and will. He's a very smart man. He's calculated. He knows what he said there, and you're not going to say it if you're not going to follow through. Ben Cherington. How many times have we played clips of Cherington where he doesn't say anything?
Mm-hmm.
He talks a lot, doesn't say anything. And he's not alone in that. That's a general manager thing.
Checking the boxes is my favorite.
Yes, he's checking boxes all the time. He says that about as many times as Mike Tomlin says the standard is the standard. And both things basically have lost their meaning. But when you say this year's is important, and then later on in your conversation with Greg Brown yesterday, and it was a fabulous job by Greg, who really does push Cherington on that show, that, hey, we will trade prospects for major league players. You're not going to have both of those guys say what they did publicly and then them not make a move or two. It's just not going to happen.
Now, I will caution people, and I think we should caution ourselves. It may not be who we absolutely
That's fair.
Think should be the guy. Like, they thought that Rowdy Tellez was going to be the first baseman of this year that could be, to vault them into an area where they'd be winning games. So it could be a guy like Rowdy Tellez. So, they didn't say who and a type of player. They said a major league player.
You are dead ass right on that, man.
And that's where it would be, oh, okay, it makes sense now.
By the by,
other people.
Carlos Santana has a WAR of 1.4. Rowdy Tellez has a negative WAR this year. Carlos Santana has an OPS plus of 118, and what that means is he's performed 18% better than league average at the first base position. He's got an OPS of 770, which is far above league average. They could have paid that guy $2 million and had him instead of Rowdy Tellez. He's got 12 home runs, which would, what, be second on the Pirates behind Brian Reynolds now, or tied for first, right up there.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right. They want to acquire. They want to add. Does not mean that they're going to get the right players.
Right.
No question about that. 412-928-9370. Does hearing from Bob Nutting, does hearing what Ben Cherington said yesterday make you more optimistic, Pirates fans, that they're actually going to get something done? 412-928-9370. Or is it going to have to be one of those, all right, show me kind of deals? 412-928-9370. The Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection. You can tweet us. Brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. You can text us. Brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. We'll talk about that. We'll react to more of what Bob Nutting had to say on Friday. Next.
Is there a time frame or maybe just a window of time where you guys will have a better idea of what you will know what you're doing at the deadline?
No.
No.
I think this may be a year where the deadline is a date.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not at all sure that we won't have opportunities well in advance of the deadline. Mm-hmm. I think we should be prepared to move early.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should be prepared to take advantage of opportunities when they arise. I know Ben has that flexibility to look across a broader range of alternatives, options, but also a timeline of when it makes sense to strike.
So he can act early. That's Bob Nutting, the owner of the Pittsburgh Pirates, speaking in June. Doesn't happen. Certainly doesn't happen talking about baseball. Maybe other stuff, but definitely not baseball. And so here's a tweet from Sam, because we asked, these comments from Nutting, these comments yesterday from Charrington, do they give you more optimism as a Pirates fan that they're actually going to do right by the fans, do right by this pitching staff? And so here's a tweet. Is your goal to make the playoffs this year? No. Imagine. How are you dancing over these comments? He didn't say anything. Basically said we need to get better internally and look at internal and external options. How many times have we heard Ben Charrington get asked pointed questions and not answer them?
Mm-hmm.
And so this was Bob Nutting. Bob Nutting did not have to say 100% the goal is to make the playoffs this year. You know, he's not hooked up to a lie detector
right.
test. He's not drinking truth serum. Like, he's not being held at water gun point. Like, he does not have to say that. He could have said, wow, we're encouraged by the development of the club, and we understand that we are in a position where we could be contending for a playoff berth. He could easily have said that. No, the goal is 100% to make the playoffs. So, if you actually listened, and we played them, to Bob Nutting's comments, I don't know how you hear that and go, oh, same old Pirates. It sounds, to me, totally different, whether it's Charrington or Bob Nutting in this regard.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's just I think that people need to see it, too. I mean, we're sounding a little bit redundant, but, like, you do need to see it. It's one thing to say it. Like, it's all, oh, great, the owner came out and said that we need to move fast, and there is no line. It's just a date, and, you know, we need to add to this team. But are you going to do it? Are you going to do it? And is it going to be correct, too? Because I will give them credit because they made the correct. Only reason why I give them credit right now is for one. It's for, what, 6 months ago? Whenever they had the 1-1 pick and they made the right move.
They got the right guy, yeah.
They got the right guy. So I think in this situation, I will lean towards them finding the right guy or guys to add to this team. But I have to see it first.
I don't know that they'll find the right guys. I think they will go out and get guys.
Just guys or dudes?
That
a dude?
That's where you could be disappointed.
Would you rather see them get like 2 to 3 guys, say two guys, or would you rather see them get one dude?
I love that we don't need to clarify that and people know right. exactly what you mean. Guys are not dudes, dudes are not guys, dudes are better than guys, and I guess I have clarified it. I mean, I'd rather see you get Luis Roberts from the White Sox, and that's a dude who's going to hit 30 home runs for you for the next 4 years.
That's what I would rather see.
That's what I'd rather see.
Enough
yeah.
with the patchwork. Enough with the platooning. Get a guy.
Get a guy.
A dude.
You've got get a dude. You've got the worst OPS or second worst OPS among center fielders in Major League Baseball, and there's a guy who is available right now that would be your guy for the next 4 years and potentially be hitting 30 bombs for you. Yeah, I'd like to see that because we know they've got at least a budget to make moves in the offseason. It was $35 million this year. You can make that go further than they did. So if you get Luis Roberts Jr. and he comes up in here, Luis Roberts Jr., and he comes up in here and he's your dude at the deadline, and you got $35 million, let's say, to spend this offseason, you can get maybe 2 very good players with that money.
Yes.
And that's what I would be looking at. So it's not just this year. That would help you make the playoffs this year, and then you'd have him for the next few, and then next offseason, you can go out and get free agents. That's what I'd like to see them
But everybody
do.
Else is talking about this, too. That's where I'm like, okay, like you're talking about it, but so is everybody else. And everybody else that needs hitting as well. We just went through the batting averages.
Everyone needs hitting.
So who's, like, if you have a guy like Luis Robert Jr., who had 30 home runs, you don't think other teams are going to be wanting to inquire about him too?
And that's why what you've heard from Charrington, and you heard a little hemming and hawing there from Nutting, there's not a lot of sellers. Everyone wants to buy. So you might not see any action until the deadline. And Charrington even said in his press conference before his radio show yesterday, usually prices come down the closer you get to the deadline. I don't think that's going to be the case this year.
Can't.
So if that's the case, and you're going to have to overpay at the deadline, you might as well overpay now. If your assumption, if your hypothesis
is... to get the guy.
Yeah, these prices ain't coming down, so what's the wait? Why would you do that? Why would you wait until the deadline 4 or 5 weeks from now when you're going to have to pay through the nose then or pay through the nose now? Maybe pay a little bit more through the nose at this point.
Pay through the nose now, and then whenever you do get to the deadline, you just wouldn't be just getting somebody just to get them, because that would be the case, because everybody else would be paid up.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else would be taken.
Yeah, you don't want to have to pick over the scraps. You wouldn't
right.
Go out there and do the thing. Do the thing. And I realize the Hossa deal was at the deadline for the Penguins back in 2008, but that sent shockwaves through the sport. Everybody's talking about Paul Skeens and this Pirates pitching staff. I threw on ESPN this morning. I threw on MLB Network. Paul Skeens, Paul Skeens, Paul Skeens, Paul Skeens. You're the exciting franchise that has that. And if you can go out there now and be the first team, I know about Luis Arraez, but you can be the first team in this deadline-ish window that goes out there and you swing that first hammer, you announce to everyone, oh, the Buccos are here.
Yes, like for real.
And you've talked about this.
Capitalize.
Yes, it's not just we're going to go win. It's... look at us. We're the Pirates, and we have changed our modus operandi. Like, we paid Mitch Keller $77 million. We paid Brian Reynolds $100 million. We paid Key Brian Hayes. We drafted the right guy 1-1. The next right thing to do is add a dude and to do it before anybody else sees it coming.
Yes.
That's what you got to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because not to get like super myopic on this, they had a chance, if they had swept the Rays, to get back to 500. Well, we knew that wasn't going to happen after game one. But then you got Jones and Skeens. You got a chance to get one game under. Well, they don't. Now they're three games under. And you got to go on the road to Cincinnati. And then you got to go on the road to Atlanta. This right here is a massive six-game stretch where at bare minimum you got to go 3-3. 4-2 would be great. But you go 2-4, now you're five games under. And you're starting to see that gap.
And that changes all the philosophy.
Yes, it does. Because if you're five games under, and maybe with the way the Cardinals are starting to play right now and the Mets are playing, maybe you're 4 or 5 or 6 games back if you have a bad stretch here. Now you're going to be thinking, well, we don't need to buy. So do it right now. Do it right. Wouldn't it be nice if tomorrow...
you woke up and...
oh, I'm just waiting. And maybe I'm hoping against hope here. That breaking news, Pirates have traded for X, and they're the first team because they understand how important this is.
Do you feel that, though? That after this weekend and the comments that we've listened to, honestly, do you feel that it's close?
You have Paul Skeens, you have Jared Jones, you have the three guys that you signed to long-term deals. How important is it to maximize what could be the window of opportunity here over the next 5 years or so?
Incredibly important to do that. I think that it's conscious, it's been put in place. I think that we absolutely have, you know, Mitch intentionally covered over that time. We have Paul intentionally in that window, and Jared's been tremendous. To have that front of the rotation is an opportunity we have to take advantage of.
Have to take advantage. I feel better today than I did on Friday morning.
Yes.
And I do think they're going to make moves. But if I'm throwing an educated guess out there, I don't think they're going to be the team that you see on the ticker and on the scroll. Breaking news, the Pirates acquire XYZ and it's the first move. I still can't get there that they're going to be the team that surprises everybody.
Man, I just don't know why you wouldn't get aggressive knowing that there's other teams that are going to get aggressive.
Ben,
why not get ahead of it?
I'm with you. And Charrington said the way you do that is you're just working the phones and you're on the phones.
Your job.
Just... if you've got to give up Tamar Johnson, then do it.
So be it.
For Luis Robert. But do it. Like, you're hoping Tamar Johnson, he's an infielder, but you're hoping he becomes a player like that. Get the guy that is that player. And that might be considered an overpayment if he and maybe Solomato is part of a broader package there. So what? You might have to pay that at the deadline anyhow. Go do it now. 412-928-9370. We got the Weekend Golf Rewind presented by Lynch Golf Sales at Pine Creek coming up next. If you're not being fit outdoors, you're not being fit. Plus, we'll have the injury report, because while the Pirates now have this massive six-game stretch of games here, they're going to be doing that without one of their best players. We'll tell you about it. So real quick here, the Weekend Golf Rewind presented by Lynch Golf Sales at Pine Creek. Scottie Scheffler wins the Travelers Championship at 22 under.
Yep.
We're at a place where it's, if you're gambling, right, it's Scheffler or the field.
Yes.
He's doing some Tiger stuff, man.
Mm-hmm.
22 under.
22 under.
I think the purse, I don't think I'm wrong here. I just looked at it. I think the purse was $3.4 million, something like that.
Yes. And I think Tommy Kim, I guess there was a playoff round. I think Tommy Kim took home $2.2
million. Oh, my God.
Not bad.
Not bad at all.
I'll take that L to Scheffler for 2.2.
And then our guy, Neil Shipley, is going to be making his official professional debut this upcoming weekend. So good for him.
Do you know what the...
I forgot. Of course I did. And I should have written it down, but I did not. And I saw Paul Alexander tweeting about what a nice young man that Neil Shipley is, and that he's going to be the next Rocco Mediate, but he might even be more decorated than Rocco Mediate.
Rocket Morkit. Wow.
Is that outside of Cleveland? Rocket Mortgage?
Detroit Golf Club.
I was close. Cleveland, Detroit.
Same thing.
This, that, the other.
$9.2 million purse.
Oh, my God. All right, you ready for some more Bucko baseball?
Sure.
The Injury Report is brought to you by Shenderovich, Shenderovich & Fishman. They've got your back, not your wallet. And lo and behold, when things start to go okay, they don't go okay for long. And now David Bednar finds himself on the IL with a little bit of a side strain on the left side. And they were hoping it wouldn't be serious. Ben Cherington said yesterday he doesn't know if it's serious. They don't think it's serious, but serious enough to go on the IL. And they had just gotten to a place where I felt really good about the back end with Chapman, Holderman, and Bednar. And now I think it's going to be Holderman in the eighth, Chapman in the ninth. And while Chapman's been way better of late, it's going to be hold on to your butt time every time he's got a save opportunity.
Well, this has been the third time with Bednar with almost the same issue.
So
I'm pretty sure
spring training. It's the second time at least this year, and it's a different side though. But yeah, it's a similar.
Then you're compensating. So like,
listen,
I'm not a doctor, but I've dealt with a lot of injuries. You know, it's not serious, but it definitely is an issue because you're starting to compensate, and then now it's the other side, and you got to rehab. But like he's just not going to be healthy for the whole season at this point.
Well, I think that's their hope here is now they could have had him pitch through it, and then it could have become a serious problem. Mm-hmm. And so they're hoping if they sit him down, then it won't grow into a serious problem. At least that's the way Ben Cherington kind of framed it yesterday, is they thought he could pitch through it, and now they're concerned if he pitches through it, he could make matters worse. He's 10-day IL. It'll probably be retroactive, but I don't know that he's going to be back real soon.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, you need him. Of course you need him. He's been very good. He was bad in the first month-ish. He's been great since then. And everything falls into place. And we saw it yesterday. Colin Holderman has to go back-to-back days. And I'm not sure that's why, but he gives up a couple of runs after only giving up one run the rest of the year. I am big-time concerned about the back end of the Pirates bullpen now. And is it Kyle Nicholas? Who's going to get more of an opportunity? Is it Carmen Maginski? Yeah, it's probably both of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe if Martin Perez comes back, and he had a rehab start the other day, 5 innings, 2 earned runs, 65 pitches. If he comes back, maybe Luis Ortiz can factor in more to the back end of the bullpen.
Gonzalez, I think, has been doing some stuff as well.
He's trending. It sounds like he's still fairly far away,
mm-hmm.
just like Burrows is fairly far away. I look at the Pirates' upcoming schedule, and you've got Falter going tonight. You've got Keller going Tuesday. Wednesday, they've got an open spot in the rotation. I think Martin Perez is going to make he's going to come back for that game.
Speaking of tonight,
mm-hmm.
and you said this last week. I don't think you said it on
air. I was just about to go here.
But go ahead.
No, you go with what you think. And then
with the ballpark?
Yes.
And Falter?
Yeah. He's a fly ball pitcher at Great American Bandbox. I'm not excited about this tonight. You know, I think Cincinnati's going to hit a couple of fly balls that would be outs at PNC Park that might clear the fence tonight. And then that also concerns me on Wednesday if that's Martin Perez, who at times has been very good for the Pirates. Before he left with the groin injury, he had blown up for a couple of starts, but he's a fly ball pitcher too. So you lose 2 out of 3 to Tampa when you got Jones and Keller.
Skeens.
Or Jones and Skeens, excuse me. And now you're going to go with Falter and Perez. 2 out of 3 in a series in that ballpark? Yeah, I'm concerned. And that is your injury report brought to you by Shenderovich, Shenderovich, and Fishman. They've got your back, not your wallet. We're reacting to some of the stuff that happened over the weekend that we didn't get to talk about on Friday. How about the sheets patch? We got a problem with that? We'll talk about that a little bit coming up next. Plus, Donnie Football posted something on Facebook that I need to ask you about. I don't know whether I'm allowed to make fun of him or not. So I'm going to ask you a question. 50-minute mark upcoming here on The Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Coming up at 8, we might tonight watch the biggest collapse, the biggest choke job in North American sports history. Or will we? We'll talk about that. But right now, you guys make the call. Do you want to talk about Donnie Football and something we may or may not have to make fun of him for? Or do you want to talk about Sheets logos on the Pirates jerseys?
Donnie Football.
Make fun of Donnie.
Oh, wow. Okay. Clean sweep here, because that's what I wanted to do, too.
Okay.
So Donnie was at the beach with his family, and they had a wonderful time. And Donnie wrote, basically, just cherish the time you've got for your loved ones. That's a great message. We're not making fun of Donnie for that. But he referred to his lovely girlfriend, Sarah, as Bub. How do we feel about this? Is that a good term of endearment, Bub?
Bub.
Because we also have the Hawk Tua girl who refers to her significant other as Pookie.
Pookie.
Mm-hmm. Which one's worse, Pookie or Bub?
Bub.
I think Bub's worse.
Yeah. You've called me Bub before during the show.
I feel like Bub is something you say as kind of an insult, or it's like what you call your grandpa.
Bub.
I'm going to Bub's house, and where it's 94 degrees because he hasn't had air conditioning since 1965, and he's probably going to say something off color.
I wonder what Sarah calls Donnie.
Bubbles.
Bubbles and Bub.
Donnie, you know the number, 412-928-9370. Donnie's always listening because he'll always text. I want him to call up and tell us what she calls him.
Yeah, I'm very interested.
Bub is cute, but I feel like...
Listen here, Bub.
Yeah, that's right. Like, you would say that to an umpire. Like, hey, Bub!
Hey, Bub.
That's a bad call, Bub! That's not love. I mean, it is. I'm not going to question their love, but that's just... It's weird to me. And then Pookie. I don't know about Pookie.
Pookie.
I feel like I'd call... And maybe that's a Southern thing. She's from Kentucky, right? Hawk to a girl. I wonder if Pookie is better used for, like, a dog.
I call my youngest son Bookie.
Why?
I don't know. It's always calling him Book.
Listen. Love is about pet names, though, so that's
I guess. I'm a big Babe guy. Just call my wife Babe all the time.
Hey, Babe.
Hey, Babe.
Babe.
Old dudes, like Paul Alexander, he's not that old, but he'll call dudes Babe.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's an old uncle kind of move.
That is.
Hey, Babe. Donnie's on the phone.
Oh, we got Donald Football. This is amazing.
Quick. You knew it.
Hi, Donnie.
What's up, boys?
What'd she call you, Bub?
She's the one that started Bub.
Okay.
So you guys call each other Bub?
Yes. I had never, like, referred to anybody as that before meeting Sarah.
So now you're calling Sarah people, out.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because she's the one that started it. I think she would proudly go with that.
I guess it's okay. If she starts it and you go with it, I think that's better than if you just up and started calling her Bub.
That seemed more like a Donnie move.
It did seem more Donnie.
It's also far less. Sorry, I'm trying to parallel park in Southside. I'm going to get some exercise, boys. It's also significantly less cringeworthy than Babe or Baby.
You like it because it's more specific to your relationship.
Yes, I think we're much more fitting as Bub.
You know what I call my
babe
wife?
Babe or Baby. I kind of want to puke with Babe or Baby.
How about Pookie? Where you come down on that one?
Actually, I think Pookie's okay. I heard you guys talking about it. I started to laugh. I wouldn't ever call Sarah that, but...
So Baby's, you know, too cheesy for you, but Pookie is that one.
Pookie's
that one's
good.
The one that'll slide through.
Well, Harry, you're going to need all the nicknames in the world because you're going to buy that bus and you're going to have them all over.
Thank you, Donald.
Thank
Goodbye.
You, Donnie. Enjoy your
Thanks,
workout.
Boys.
See him.
He was parallel parking to go work out in the South Side.
Where does Donnie live?
South Side.
Oh, okay. That makes sense then.
Yeah.
I was going to say, going to the South Side to park and work out, that seems like a pain in the ass.
Right.
I call my wife Tiny. Because that was her nickname back on the crew team, because she, you know, she's 5'1 and three quarters and was the cox, and she'd sit at the front of the boat.
What was your nickname? You guys were the same size in high school.
Yeah, people called me all kinds of names, most of which I cannot say on the air. So do we feel better about Bub since it was a Sarah creation?
Yes.
Okay, I agree with that.
That's fine.
I call my daughter all kind of weird stuff. Because she was Pumpkin Baby at first, because she was all fat, and she was born in October. So then she became Pumpkin, and then she's Pump, and then there's all kind of different things. But the Lover, you got to be careful there.
Yeah, you do.
You got to be thinking, too, is this something I can use in the bedroom?
No. That has to be separate.
Oh, there are different words for the bedroom.
Yeah.
Different names in the bedroom.
Yeah, like that has to be separate. Like everyday name, nicknaming has to be separate from whenever you're getting down.
Yeah, what happens with the lights off?
Yeah, a little bit.
And we turn the lights off. I don't know about you.
Yeah, sometimes.
Mm-hmm. How about these sheets patches? we down with the sheets patches? I'm down with the sheets patches. I like red on the Pirates uniforms, first of all. But Sheets, a good Pittsburgh brand. I know that Dayon was saying.
He was upset.
Oh, my God. What a stupid thing to get upset about.
I'm so upset about it. Just, what?
When I think Sheets, I think Pittsburgh. And
same
when
here.
I think Pittsburgh, I don't only think about downtown Pittsburgh.
Whenever I leave this city and I go other places, I tell people I am from Pittsburgh, not
West A.
Right.
Yeah.
Not the suburbs of Pittsburgh.
Where did you grow up? Mount Lebanon. I'm talking to some guy from Georgia. Like, he doesn't know.
Pittsburgh. What?
Sheets is a Pittsburgh-based company.
Where are they supposed to put a Sheets downtown? Right in the middle?
Yeah.
What is it going to it's going to be as big as the PPG Paints Arena. You can't put a Sheets downtown. Like, what are we talking about?
That's so true.
Where are you going to put a Sheets at downtown? No, seriously. Where are you going to put a Sheets downtown to make it so Pittsburgh-esque? To make it so it can fulfill your Pittsburgh-ness? Oh, that pissed me off so bad.
If you're going to put a Sheets downtown, you might as well put a Pitt football stadium.
Yeah.
What are we talking about? Sheets ain't small. You're blowing out a full city block for a Sheets.
What are we talking about?
I mean, how many gas stations are there downtown?
Like downtown?
Yeah.
None?
Right.
Zero.
Right. I mean, what are you talking about, Dayon?
I was going to say the one in Altoona is pretty big. I guess you could make one legitimately.
Well, it started here and it spread out. You go to Morgantown, you can't throw a stone without hitting the Sheets.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's one on 88, which isn't that far from my house. And then there's one up on Washington Pike that's not all that far from my house. There's Sheets everywhere.
I have two within like a mile of my house.
Yeah.
I have no problem. Yeah, you do. I have no problem with jersey patches.
No.
I don't like to see it get out of control. I don't want it to be European soccer where the sponsor is bigger than the team logo.
It's on the sleeve.
It's on the sleeve.
And it's like small. It's a small rectangle.
You don't even notice it after.
No.
You're going to notice it now. You're not going to notice it later on. The Penguins have the bold penguin on the side of their helmet. And at first it was like, yeah, that looks weird. And then you forget about it and you just bitch about the power play.
People that were upset. Oh my gosh.
It's not a Pittsburgh-based company. What?
Oh, I'm a swore.
What are we talking about? Sheets is based out of Altoona. We claimed it. We claimed it. Okay? Sheets doesn't want to be associated with Altoona anyhow. Like that stupid pizza with the you see now with the American cheese melted on top? They said that's Altoona pizza. No, it's not. It's an abomination.
Yeah.
Curve PA.
Let's put Sheets in the middle of downtown. Yeah. Make it Pitt. Oh, it's not. There's none downtown. Not Pittsburgh.
Sheets are huge. A lot of people say that Sheets started in Altoona, not Pittsburgh.
Oh, I know that.
That's
I get
why
that.
The one in Altoona is so big because they wanted.
They're all big.
No, have you ever been to the one in Altoona?
You're correct.
The Sheets are big, though.
Yeah, there's not a.
I understand what you're saying. We can agree on that. But I'm saying, have you been to the one in Altoona? Because it's
a big one.
It's special.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's the biggest Sheets, the OG Sheets.
Yeah. I've been there one time, and it was fantastic. Slushies aplenty. Big freezers.
And Sheets is really good.
Yeah. Yes.
You were talking to me, Doran, about your pimento cheese sandwich you go and get from Sheets.
Smoked ham and pimento cheese.
Now what we need is for the Phillies to have Wawa on their jerseys and for these two teams to meet in the National League Championship Series. And for all the Sheets v. Wawa marbles, baby, have it decided right there on the baseball diamond with Paul Skeens taking the ball for Sheets and Ranger Suarez taking the ball for Wawa.
Have you ever been to Wawa?
It's great. But it's different. They make the cold cut sandwiches.
Right.
You get like a foot long sandwich. It's really good. But the hot and ready stuff at Sheetz is way better than what they got at Wawa.
Correct.
It's okay. Both things can exist. You can like Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Give us a call on the Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. I did not know that was going to strike such a nerve with you, the whole...
Well, I understand that Sheetz is from is in Altoona, but it's here.
We also claim Altoona in a way.
Right.
They say Yin's in Altoona. Yeah. Like, I consider Altoona... I'm probably wrong in this.
It's close.
It's close enough to being in Western PA for me. I don't care. Yeah. We'll take it. We'll put up our flag.
We just want to be mad about everything.
Mm-hmm. What is supposed to be on the jerseys? Permanis? I guess. And that's Pittsburgh. What else is Pittsburgh?
Giant Eagle.
Is there a Giant Eagle downtown?
No.
Of course not. Because it's a metropolitan area. Fan Weather is brought to you by Sun Chevy. 24 Silverado LT crew cab up to $7,500 in rebates. Full terms and qualifications at sunchevy.com. Today, high of 82.